Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
From the HannityAutos.com studio at EverBank Field, this is Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. No Fred Taylor tonight. He'll be back with us next week for the Falcons and Jaguars. Final score from Detroit, 13-12. The Lions over the Jags. But the story again tonight, quarterback Blake Bortles, huge night in relief of Chad Henne. 10 of 16, had the drive down for the field goal at the end of the first half. Came out early in the second half. That's the story moving forward.
Well, yeah, and he finally got the ball in the end zone, which kind of breaks the ice for him, and it really was the only thing that you hadn't seen from Blake Bortles in a positive fashion. You still haven't seen him throw the pick. He had a couple of wayward passes, but that's nitpicking. I mean, there's a certain electricity. We're looking for a word that really described it. He looks to drive the ball down the field. He plays with his eyes constantly looking 10 yards or further down the field as these plays develop, and it'll check down as a last resort. And look, the entire feeling of the offense changes when he gets on the field, JP. And honestly, I cannot wait to hear Gus Bradley's comments, because I've got to believe that Jeff Loggeman's first question to him is, who is your starting quarterback right now?
Well, and Jeff said it during the broadcast that he's changed his mind, that he thinks Bortles should be the guy.
I don't know anybody outside of perhaps the coaching staff and the front office who've been taking that party line the whole way, who, if they were choosing, wouldn't choose Blake Bortles to start the season for the Jacksonville Jaguars, including myself, including yourself, I think, without speaking for you. The only question is, they've been so steadfast in their approach to how they're handling this, and that Chad Henne is the guy, and the limited first-team reps they gave him. It's getting hard to deny. You know, you had Blake Bortles won by TKO in the first preseason game. Yes, I thought Chad Henne outpointed him last week. And then, again, this was a full-on knockout tonight in terms of the head-to-head quarterback battle. Blake Bortles hasn't looked bad in any of these games. Chad Henne just happened to be a little bit better in one of them, but Blake was clearly the superior option in the other two, albeit not always against the first team, but you can't deny the quality of the passes, the quality of the way the team seems to respond to his play.
Jeff Loggeman is outside of the Jaguars locker room at Ford Field awaiting head coach Gus Bradley. We will go there when Gus arrives with Loggeman. Let's look at the numbers head-to-head. Sometimes the numbers don't tell the whole tale, but tonight Chad Henne, 9 of 14, 70 yards, a rating of 76.5. Blake Bortles, 10 of 16, 158 yards, a touchdown, a rating of 116.1. And on that first drive for Bortles, a two-minute drive, he surpassed Henne's passing total in that one drive alone.
In 2 minutes of play compared to 28 minutes of play. And, again, we're not trying to tear down Chad Henne. He has been pretty good. He was certainly very good last week. But clearly Blake Bortles has been, for a rookie getting his first action, exceptional. And it's been an exceptional preseason. Here are the totals for him, by the way. Three games. 28 of 44 for 435 yards, nearly 10 yards per attempt. Jeff Loggeman's right. The stat you measure a quarterback by in the National Football League is yards per attempt, and 10 is off the charts. 10 is beyond Hall of Fame numbers. Now, it's a preseason. I get it, but I'm just telling you how good he has been, 103.9 quarterback rating overall through three games. I'm not putting Blake Bortles in the Hall of Fame. I'm just saying, for a team and a fan base that wants a spark, there's your spark right there.
I think I just heard you say it.
I did not say that. Let's be because someone will hear that and say Dempsey has him in the Hall of Fame.
Mike Dempsey.
He predicted Canton after one preseason.
Of course, we'll get back to the quarterbacks throughout Jaguars postgame. Let's move on before we go to a Ford Field. Allen Hurns tonight, the undrafted rookie out of Miami, 7 receptions, 113 yards. He had the touchdown reception, 11-yard touchdown from Bortles. Hurns just keeps getting better and better and better.
It is not a flash in the pan. It's not just taking advantage of the absence of somebody else. It's surpassing that. He's been the best receiver on this football team, period. Cecil Shorts hasn't played that much. I get that. But Allen Hurns came out tonight and took his game to the next step, and I mean really became a go-to guy. Had a drop, bounced right back, made a nice move on the touchdown. He's a guy that both Chad Henne and Blake Bortles got involved with. They both feel comfortable taking shots to this guy. It's like they're trying to create ways and find ways to get Marquise Lee running room. They're getting the ball in his hands quickly. Allen Hurns is creating his own running room because he's getting separation down the field, and he's able to run after the catch. And if he's not getting great separation, he's presenting a good enough target to his quarterback so they can make those big chunk plays.
On the ground, Toby Gerhart, 10 carries, 32 yards. He had an average of around four yards at one point in the game, finished with 3.2 yards per carry. Gerhart, I'm really anxious to see him in a full capacity on opening day.
Yeah, you know, again, we talk about, let's see him get to 15, 18 carries, and if he starts to wear down a defense. You did see some leg drive out of Toby Gerhart on two or three of those runs tonight. That's what you want to see to move the pile. But, boy, you look at what they've done in the preseason, run versus pass, and I know Jed Fish talks about that 58-42 ratio. Right now, 58 of that needs to be Blake Bortles dropping back and slinging the football. Look, it wasn't a very productive game in the running game, but again, Toby Gerhart showed the ability to push the pile a little bit, and that's what you're going to look for out of him.
Defensively, the Jaguars forced three turnovers, four if you count the turnover on downs on the goal line stand, but the three true turnovers, the Andre Branch interception, really nice play for the Leo Wynn back in coverage. 20 yards down the field, he makes a play on the ball.
Yeah, spectacular play. And I heard the sideline interview with Rick Ballew. He says, hey, you know what? You know it's going to Calvin Johnson. Fine. You know what? Jared Allen may know it's going to Calvin Johnson. You know, plenty of defensive ends may know that. Very athletic play. Shows you what kind of an athlete he is. And not only that, more importantly, because you're not going to count on that kind of play out of your defensive ends on a regular basis, he got pressure tonight. Didn't result in an actual sack for him, but it got consistent pressure coming after the quarterback.
We'll go back to Ford Field in Detroit, just outside of the Jaguars locker room. Jeff Lagerman has the first word with head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Gus, the third preseason game, many people consider that one the most important. Where do you feel like your team improved at today?
Well, I thought we had a really good week of practice. We really worked our guys. They came in here, and I felt that same spirit. And then I think there's a lot of really good learning that took place, a long run by Reggie Bush. That's just, you know, Jonathan Cyprian and Red Bryant getting a chance to get a feel how each one is going to play that play. And it's fortunate that it happened in preseason. But overall, good. I mean, we really were hitting, we were running, we were getting some takeaways. We ended up giving them the ball back in the fourth quarter, which, you know, we got to take out of our game.
I'll be the first one to ask you this because you know it's coming here in your press conference. The play of Blake Bortles there, particularly the two-minute drill at the end of the half, continued to impress. Does that change your thinking in any way?
No, not at all. He did what he's supposed to do in the 2 minute. I think when he came out in the second half, you know, and you know, that's what we wanted to challenge our guys. Come out and start fast in the second half. And we struggled a little bit there, but I thought he regained his composure, came back and had a nice drive for us. And I think three of the four we could have scored on. So he did a nice job there.
Allen Hurns, fantastic game. Over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown, an undrafted guy. You got to be impressed with him.
I really am. I mean, for him to come in, I mean, here it is. He's undrafted. Coming in this game, he knows he's battling to make the team. And then, you know, to play with such a clear mind and just do what he does in practice every day. You know, really a good lesson for all of us, the whole team, to see that's how you do it.
You had mentioned about some of the run fits not being exactly where you wanted to be. But defensively, getting three takeaways in the ball game, you've always preached it's about the ball, and tonight certainly they got that done.
Yeah, I definitely did. You know, and had a goal line stand down there. You know, that one is what's going to stick with our guys, but that's okay. You know, that's how you get those corrections. But overall, I feel like through the preseason, we've done a really good job versus the run.
Injuries early in the ball game, Winston guy left. He ended up coming back. Let's start with Josh Gobe. What's the word on Josh?
Well, you know, going into the game, we said he would just do field goals. And if we could get one in, you know, we'll do it. And then after the one, then we decide to pull him out. So I know he's got a little tightness, but, you know, that was just on our part.
Send Eric Marks, reportedly a shoulder. What's the status of Send Eric?
Yeah, I know he'll get an MRI tomorrow. We'll find out more about that. So, you know, just talking him in here, he's, you know, he's got some ice on. He's trying to take care of it. So we'll see. You know, I know it's unfortunate that it happened in the game, but his spirits are good. So we'll find out more tomorrow.
Paul Posluszny's got a lot of biceps, reportedly a bicep injury.
Yeah, big bicep, big bruise and stitches, and he's got such big biceps. No, he's a warrior for us. I mean, he's, you know, worked so hard, and I think that we find out when he's in the game, we play at a different level.
And David Carter, backup young player, defensive tackle.
Yeah, did a nice job. I mean, made a play, a stretch play that came his way, made the play, and then a couple plays later had that injury. So we'll find out more about his status, too, later on.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Jeff, thanks a lot. There's head coach Gus Bradley with Jeff Loggeman from Ford Field in Detroit. When we return on Jaguars postgame, we'll go back to the Jaguars locker room. Jeff Loggeman inside. 13-12, the final score. The Lions over the Jaguars. And more Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. 13-12 final, Lions over the Jaguars at Ford Field in Detroit. At Geico, you have a choice of ways you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Let's go back to the Jaguars locker room in Detroit. Jeff Loggeman has Cecil Shorts the third. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Cecil, first game action this year for you. How'd you feel?
I felt good. I was excited to get back out there with the guys and just play again. But I feel good, feel real healthy, and I came out all right.
There's a young guy that's lockers right next to you over there, Alan Hearns, over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown. How about him?
He is playing great right now, and it's carrying over from practice. And he does the same thing in practice every day. He works his butt off, he competes, and he just carrying over to the game. He's doing a great job.
You've got a young group of wide receivers, and you're expected to be the leader of that group. How much fun has that been for you?
It's been a ball, man. These guys are working their butts off every day, and it's starting to show up. I can see with Alan Hearns and stuff. So it's exciting. It's going to be a fun year for us.
The quarterback, Blake Bortles, inserted in for a two-minute drill. No timeouts left, under 2 minutes. An impressive drive taking your team down the field. What do you think about his play?
Great job. I think he's been doing a good job all preseason. Since game one, he's been impressive. Making some great throws, and he did a great job of finding open guys, stepping up in the pocket a few times, and I'm excited about his future.
Does the debate ever happen in the locker room? Chad Henne, Blake Bortles?
No. It's flat out Chad's job, and that's what it is. Blake has learned a lot from Chad. Blake still has some learning to do, and Chad's doing a great job of leading the team and doing what starting quarterbacks do, so we're excited.
Targeted one time, you were in the ball game, a deep ball. did you find it?
I still know where it's at. it was off coverage, it was quarters, and I'm thinking, get up on him, get outside and go. And then I looked up, I just didn't see anything, so I kept looking. So I'm sure we'll get a good laugh and film, but we'll definitely fix that this week and getting ready for the week one.
All right, thank you, Cecil.
Hey, no problem, thanks.
That's fantastic.
That's Jeff preseason, right?
Jeff Loggeman with Cecil Shorts at third. He still can't.
I still don't know where it is. I still don't know. Look, that was an opportunity. In all seriousness, maybe would have been Henny's best opportunity to make a big play that would have quieted some of the comparison.
That's true, yes.
You know, because he did throw it. It looked like he threw it to a good spot, to the outside shoulder, and Cecil got turned around and didn't know where to look for it. But, look, even if he hits that, he didn't outshine what Blake Bortles did tonight.
This is Jaguars postgame, 13-12 final, Lions over the Jags. Let's go back to Ford Field, Jaguars locker room. Blake Bortles is with Jeff Loggeman. Jeff?
All right, Blake, first game action with the number ones. How did it feel?
You know, I thought it was good. You know, obviously there's a little bit of speed difference, but, I mean, we're running the same plays that we do with the twos. So, you know, it's football. So, I mean, it was cool. It was fun to get that experience. And, I mean, I think the only way you can grow and improve is having that opportunity.
I know they were talking about maybe midway through the second quarter, and all of a sudden your first game action is a two-minute drill. No timeouts left and about 90 yards to go.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we practice just about every day. So, it was a situation we're familiar with, and we knew what we needed. And, we did a good job of getting down there. You know, I missed on a couple throws and blew a couple protections. But we got down there and got points, which I thought was a good thing to end the half with.
How much different was this game than the previous two games? Because the defenses you faced in the first two games, kind of plain.
Yeah. And Detroit did some stuff. They brought some pressure and did some different things. But, I mean, it was things we had prepared for. It was things that we game planned for. And, I blew a couple protections and missed a couple reads. But for the most part, I thought that we did a good job as offense. You know, we were good with tempo and moved the ball.
Looks like you like throwing to number 88, Alan Hearns.
Yeah. Alan just does a good job of getting off the ball. You know, he does a great job of getting off press coverage and beating his guy and getting open, and he's a playmaker. So whenever he's in the read, you know, I get excited.
All right, thank you, Blake.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff, from the Jaguars locker room at Ford Field in Detroit with Blake Bortles.
Yeah, no confusion on this. Now, you know, you and I were discussing trying to parse the answer Gus Bradley gave it to Jeff Logan. We may play that back later. When he said, "Did this change your mind?" He said, "No, not at all. We expect Blake to do good things in the 2-minute drill." I thought he turned that answer into kind of, "No, it didn't change my mind about Blake because we knew he was good," and I thought he might have avoided answering, but apparently in the post-game press conference, because it's being tweeted out widespread by the Jaguar media, Gus Bradley has stated Chad Henne is the week one starter for the Jacksonville Jaguars, okay. Which, honestly, again, outside of, as we said, the coaching staff, the front office, I doubt you'll find many people that support that decision in the greater Jacksonville area, but it doesn't surprise me based on the consistency of the message since the day they drafted Blake Bortles.
And even the day they re-signed Chad Henne and extended him, it started then. It started with the draft. It continued into the offseason program, and it hasn't wavered at all. And that's kind of what you expect now from Caldwell and Bradley. When they say something, for the most part, they're going to stick with it.
Look, at some point in time, you know, Blake Bortles is going to become the starter, and they said Blake's going to play when Blake is ready. I don't know how much more ready he needs to look based on preseason play, but for now, Gus Bradley has given a definitive answer, and with three preseason games in the books, don't expect that to change next week.
When we come back, we'll choose an MVP of the game. This should be a slam dunk tonight. 13-12 final score, Lions over the Jags at Ford Field in Detroit. We'll also have the Bud Light play of the game. We'll listen to the highlights coming up a little bit later as well. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score from Detroit, 13-12, the Lions over the Jags. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Let's get to the Comcast Xfinity lightning-fast questions of the game. Pretty tee out tonight, so it's...
I'm his handcuff.
This is you.
In the fantasy vernacular.
Get
I'm
ready.
His handcuff. I'm ready to go.
Get ready. Number one. Who is the quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Chad Henne, only because Gus Bradley says so. And only because Gus Bradley says so. Everyone else, myself included, thinks it's Blake Bortles' time.
Wasn't as clear as we might have thought from his answer to Jeff, but then he clarified it with the media later.
Seemed to have taken all doubt out of the equation. So as long as Gus says Chad's the quarterback, he's the quarterback. But in spirit, I think I know where the Jaguar fan base lies.
Question two, who is the center for the Jaguars?
I think it's Luke Bolenko. I think he is. I think that you saw this guy get in there ahead of Mike Brewster. I think Mike Brewster's time in that competition is over with. And I think that if Bolenko holds up, if the ankle shows up fine, I think he's going to be your opening day starter.
And for Brewster, he played a little right guard tonight, too. That didn't go great.
No, a little bit. You know, he was in on one particular play when the entire line got bum rushed, but it didn't really shine.
Finally, how concerning is the injury situation, especially with Cedric Marks?
Well, that tops the list. Apparently, Paul Posluszny's finally had a laceration on the bicep. The quad strain, more a precautionary thing to take Scobie out. No need to push him in the preseason. But Marks is a guy we saw play like a wrecking ball in the first preseason game. He got the big contract. They expect big things out of him. Let's hold our breath on the MRI if he misses any period of time. Despite that being the deepest unit on the football field, I think that is concerning.
Those are the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game. The new SEC Network is available on Xfinity from Comcast. Get access to 45 live SEC football games you won't see anywhere else. Call 1-800-XFINITY today. All programming subject to availability. Restrictions apply. It is a time to choose an MVP of the game. I think this one's a slam dunk. I'm going to go with Allen Hurns. Seven catches, 113 yards, and the 11-yard touchdown. The undrafted rookie out of the U has been fantastic, and not a better performance than tonight.
No. I mean, that's a spectacular performance by Allen Hurns. And I think at this point, Allen Robinson needs to get back and start making some plays in practice or doing something because Allen Hurns is earning himself regular season playing time. He's consistently coming up big in all situations, no matter who the quarterback is throwing the football. He's getting open. He's making plays. He's catching the ball. I wholeheartedly agree with you. Runaway vote for the MVP.
And he's a guy, remember, that when camp started, he was at best a bubble guy. This guy might have a chance to make it as a fifth receiver if he can work on special teams. Well, he took advantage of the opportunity with Robinson down, with a Sanders away. Some spots came open for him to get out there on the field and actually play, and he's just taking advantage of the opportunity, which is what Gus Bradley preaches all the time. You have to take advantage of whatever the opportunity is, and he's done that.
And did he get a head start maybe because he knew the system a little bit?
That helps. That
helps.
Said that, yes.
It helps, but don't tell me that Mike Brown doesn't know the system. Don't tell me Kerry Taylor. They all know the system by now, okay? And he is the one that consistently is shining week in, week out. That's not a knock on those guys. That's just praise for Allen Hurns.
Yeah, and Hurns has said that, yes, that's one less thing he has to think about as a rookie coming in is that offense. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Final score from Detroit, 13-12. The Lions over the Jags. We'll come back with the highlights from tonight's game, including the Bud Light play of the game. Lots more to come. Final score, 13-12. Lions win it. In preseason game number 3, Jaguars postgame continues after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score from Detroit, 13-12. The Lions over the Jags. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Fred Taylor will be back with us next week. Let's get to the highlights from tonight's game. We'll also hear the button-like play of the game coming up. Jags offense struggled early, 6 and a punt on their first drive, and then 5 plays and a punt on the next drive, which followed a huge burst for Detroit. Second drive of the game for the Lions. Reggie Bush. Yes, that Reggie Bush still has some burst. He had a cutback, and he goes 86 yards to Pater.
Bell, the lone running back. He'll work against the Jaguar four-man front. Now they walk a safety up, back him out of there. First down from the 14-yard line. Reggie Bush picks his way. He's got room to the 20. Reggie Bush is in the open field. Reggie Bush to the 50. Reggie Bush is in Jaguar territory to the 30. Reggie Bush up the right sideline. Can Winston Guy get him? He cannot. There are no flags. It's going to be a touchdown for the Lions. Reggie Bush just went 86 yards.
86 yards, still has that extra burst to score. 7-0 Lions through their first two drives. The Jags went 5 and punted away. First play of Detroit's third drive from their own 16-yard line. Andre Branch goes back in coverage and picks it off.
Play fake. Stafford looks downfield to his left side. That is picked off by Andre Branch in a zone coverage. Look at this. He looks like a defensive back inside the 30-yard line, inside the 24-yard line. Andre Branch, the defensive end in pass coverage, makes a huge play.
21-yard return set up a Scobie 38-yard field goal, 7-3 the score. The ensuing drive after the Scobie field goal, 11 plays, 75 yards. The Lions with Stafford just drive right down the field. They go for it on fourth down, and the Jags D comes up with a goal line stand.
High formation, Bell the running back, two tight end set. Can the Jags get him stopped right here? They'll run it with Bell. It's going to be close. It's going to be really close. He dove forward. He was submarined, Jeff. I think the Jags have stopped him.
And they did. The Jaguars stopped them. Then went 11 plays the other way, had to punt. Detroit punted away. And then it was Bortles' time. Less than 2 minutes to play in the first half. Blake Bortles drives the Jags right down the field. It's capped off by a Redfern 34-yard field goal to end the first half.
Josh Scobie is injured, a 34-yard attempt on what should be the final play of the half. The hold is good. Casey puts it up, and he drills it right through there to end the half. What good work by Blake Bortles.
10-play drive, 89 yards through the air for Bortles. A couple of balls were nearly intercepted. One of those was going to be overturned by a penalty anyway. But some really strong throws for Bortles on that two-minute drive. 7-6 the halftime score. Then the Jaguars' defense got to work in the second half, third quarter. JT Thomas comes up with a fumble recovery on the Lions' second drive.
Four-man front for the Jaguars. Nobody else really near the line of scrimmage. So it'll be a four-man rush. Orlovsky looks. Lots of time to throw. Dumps it out of the backfield. He's got Landman. Ball's on the ground. Picked up. JT Thomas picked it up after Demetrius McCray knocked it out of there. It's going to be Jaguar football at the 49-yard line of the Lions.
Jags set up at the 49. 4 plays later, Bortles finds Allen Hurns. An 11-yard score put the Jags up on top.
Play clock under 5. They snap it. Bortles drop. They pick up the blitz. Throws it out to the left side. Complete. Allen Hurns. Who else? Touchdown, Jacksonville. How do you like that? And the Jags take the lead.
Allen Hurns, with his 7th catch of the game, now has 111 yards receiving and the touchdown. What a night he's having.
What a night for Hurns. What a night for Bortles. 12-7, the two-point try failed. The Jaguars defense, 2 drives later, would get another fumble recovery. This time, Ryan Davis covers it up. Josh Hall with the forced fumble.
They'll give it to LeSure again. Picks his way again to the 5-yard line. Now the ball's out. The ball's out. The Jaguars say they have it. Let's see if they do.
They're pointing that way.
And Jacksonville has taken over. They force yet another turnover. LeSure fumbles it away, and it's Jaguars football.
Well, that's linebacker.
Ryan Davis picks it up. Stanzi throws an interception. Ensuing drive for the Lions. They go 6 plays, 63 yards, and win. Puts the Lions ahead for good with a 1-yard plunge.
First and goal now for the Lions from the 1-yard line of Jacksonville. George Wynn, the running back. They give it to George, running straight up the middle. He is into the end zone, and the Lions have taken the lead.
13-12, that would be the final score. Let's hear the Bud Light play of the game again. Andre Branch with the early interception tonight.
Play fake. Stafford looks downfield to his left side. That is picked off by Andre Branch in a zone coverage. Look at this. He looks like a defensive back inside the 30-yard line, inside the 24-yard line. Andre Branch, the defensive end in pass coverage, makes a huge play.
That is the Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Sure, a lot of people would have thought that the Blake Bortles' first touchdown, even though it's in the preseason, would be the play of the game. JP, I think he's going to have a lot more spectacular touchdowns than that in his career here in Jacksonville. That was a pretty spectacular play by Andre Branch.
It really was. Back and cover about 20, 25 yards down the field for the big man. Come protect the bank on September 21st. Jags and the Colts at 1 o'clock. You got to be here for the great home opener and the best game day experience in the league with the world's largest video boards. Tickets going fast. Get yours today at Jaguars.com. Don't forget Thursday night, Falcons at EverBank Field for the final preseason tune-up as well. When we come back, EverBank stats check. Final score from Detroit, the Lions over the Jags, 13-12. A lot of positives from tonight's game, though. We'll get to that coming up. Jaguars postgame continues after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey, 13-12. Final score, Lions over the Jags. Lions now 2-1 in the preseason. Jags are 1-2. And the Jaguars will finish out the preseason slate Thursday against the Atlanta Falcons at EverBank Field. Let's look around the National Football League. 4 other games in action tonight. A huge slate tomorrow in the league. The Giants beat the Jets tonight, 35-24, the final at the Meadowlands. Eli Manning, 12 of 21, 139 yards and a touchdown. Geno Smith, 9 of 14, 137 yards and a touchdown. Mike Vick was 4 of 5 in the game with a touchdown pass, but he did lose a fumble for the Jets. Late second quarter, the only game, actually 2 other finals first. We'll get to the active game in a moment. Boy, Tom Brady is ready to roll. 17 of 21, 204 yards, 2 touchdowns. He actually left the game for a drive, right, and came back?
He did. It was kind of weird. Ryan Mallett came in for 1 drive, led him to a field goal, and then Brady was back in.
Patriots win 30-7 over the Panthers. Maurice Jones-Drew had a touchdown, a 40-yard touchdown run, 3 carries, 45 yards. But the Packers beat the Raiders 31-21 at Lambeau Field tonight. In one game active, Cutler just threw a touchdown. It was overturned on penalty, though, offensive pass interference. So the Seahawks are rolling over the Bears 28-0 nearing halftime in Seattle.
Russell Wilson has thrown 2 touchdowns. He's run for another one. We said before the game, Jags went toe-to-toe with Chicago last week and out, you know, bested them in the first half. Let's see how they stack up against the best team in the NFL. Right now, Seattle is showing they're a cut above everybody in the preseason, at least.
Final score from Detroit, the Lions over the Jags, 13-12. When we come back, unfortunately, a look at the injury report presented by Baptist Health System. A few injuries to note tonight. Some final thoughts on the game coming up as well. 13-12 final. Lions win it. More Jaguars postgame after these words on Jaguars Radio.
Microsoft Surface is the official tablet and sideline technology sponsor of the NFL. While you're watching NFL games at home, Surface tablets are in the stadium and on the sidelines. Surface enriches the NFL by providing technology for players and coaches on the sidelines to help them make the right decisions to win games. And for fans at home, Surface tablets allow them to be more productive, including in their fantasy football leagues. The only tablet trusted by the NFL, but built for the fans. Get yours at a Microsoft store today. The most productive tablets on the planet do more.
The Jaguars proudly call EverBank Field home, and now it's your turn to call EverBank home for all your mortgage needs. If it's competitive rates, maximum cash flow, or possibly even a jumbo loan you're after, EverBank has the answer. From their winning lineup of home loan solutions to their dedicated team of experts, it's time you put this hometown financial leader to work for you. To make your move to EverBank today, connect with their mortgage experts locally or online at everbank.com/lendingteam. The official bank of your Jacksonville Jaguars. EverBank is an equal housing lender. Member FDIC and MLS 399805.
This is Tony Buscelli. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. Recycling is not only the right thing to do to protect the environment, but can save you and your community's money. Republic is the official waste provider of the Jacksonville Jaguars and has been proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and we will take it from here. Visit republicservices.com for more information.
Whether you're Chad Henne of the Jacksonville Jaguars between first down and touchdown, or cheering him on between the first quarter and the fourth, Lance Cracker Sandwiches are the between snack that gives you the power you need to score big with up to 6 grams of protein. So grab a pack of Toast Chi made with real peanut butter sandwiched between two toasty baked crackers. Throw on your lucky teal and black and get ready to cheer the Jaguars all game long. Lance Cracker Sandwiches, the between snack.
He's in the parking lot. He's at the stadium entrance. He's pulling out his ticket. Oh, my cherry pie. Will he go all the way?
Save the suspense for the game, not the gate. You're getting in with NFL Ticket Exchange, the only official ticket exchange of the NFL where 100% of the tickets are verified by Ticketmaster. Don't settle for sold out. Get the seats you want. Buy securely from season ticket members and other fans.
Buy and sell tickets the NFL approved way at NFLTicketExchange.com. Together we make football.
I know you're listening to The Game and you're probably not thinking about mortgages, but as a sponsor, we have 30 seconds to tell you about the Vistar No Closing Cost Mortgage. Great low rates, no hidden fees, and like the name says, no closing costs. Go to VistarCU.org for details, because you may not be thinking about a new mortgage while the game's on, but at Vistar, we never forget that it's your money. Equal housing lender, member NCUA. All loans subject to credit approval. No closing cost offer not available on VA, construction loans, or reverse mortgages. Certain restrictions apply.
Jaguars postgame continues. 13-12 Lions over the Jags. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Fred Taylor will be back with us next week. Let's get to the Baptist Health System injury report. Baptist Health System changing health care for good. The most notable has to be Sendarek Marks with a shoulder injury. Had an ice pack on it on the TV. And sounds like an MRI tomorrow for him.
Yeah, there's a period of time there where three starters on defense were all out and you didn't know the severity of those injuries. And this is the one that the only one really that seems to have a lingering effect. You hate to see the jersey off and the ice pack on. Hopefully it's precautionary. Hopefully the MRI comes back negative. But if I'm a Jaguar fan, I'm crossing my fingers, holding my breath a little bit till tomorrow.
Winston Guy left the game for a bit with an ankle injury, was back on the field. Sounds like he's good to go.
Yeah, it seemed like he got hit on that bone, and that's pretty painful area to get a shot on. They probably took him back, get a precautionary x-ray, and if it came back negative as it appeared to, looks like he'll be all right.
We all know Paul Posluszny has huge guns, and one of those got lacerated.
They're getting in the way of getting contused and lacerated. He's had one of each on either bicep. They said no big deal. This was just a cut on his arm. He'll be fine.
Josh Scobie, quad injury. That was apparently notable from the opening kick when Redfern had the opening kickoff. Gus Bradley said they wanted to get Scobie one field goal and pull him out, but hey, something going there.
Yeah, Action Sports' Brent Martineau tweeting that they described it in the postgame. I'm assuming Gus Bradley described it as precautionary as well, quad strain. So like you said, JP, they knew it enough going in that they wouldn't use him on the kickoff, but they didn't feel so bad about it that they wouldn't let him attempt a field goal. Maybe you didn't even have a setback. Maybe you said, you know what, it still kind of feels the same, and took his shot. And, you know, hopefully Scobie's an important player on this football team. Anytime you get in range, you got to put points on the board. It didn't go well for Redfern, more on the hold than on the kick on that one, but an ugly block. So let's hope Scobie's back in action quickly.
Kerry Taylor, wide receiver, had a wrist injury, was out of the game. Carter, the defensive tackle, had an injury as well. And those the notable ones, though, are those starters. And that was your first key to the game in the pregame show, Mike.
Well,
stay healthy.
Right. I mean, look, you want to see the quarterbacks excel. Certainly that's a big thing. But we saw the Jags lose Austin Pastor last week, and that's, you know, one of your starting offensive linemen. Sendarek Marks now, maybe your best defensive lineman when it's all said. Now, certainly one of the impact players on defense you hope to see in 2014. And, you know, it may turn out to be nothing, but until we know, there's a little bit of concern.
And this injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. When we return, we'll preview next week's matchup, the final preseason tune-up. The Atlanta Falcons come to town. We'll wrap up Jaguars postgame as well. That's after these words on the Jaguars Radio Network.
It was fun being Michelangelo, but I didn't have a Geico car insurance. You might not believe that a guy who did the Sistine Chapel and some great sculptures would feel unfulfilled, but I never had a Geico, a company that's been churning out savings since 1936. That's over 75 years. Mamma mia! Did I just say that? So take it from a pro, Michelangelo, and switch it to Geico. That rhymed!
Geico, saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years.
Today's post-op press conference is brought to you by Baptist Health, official health care provider of the Jacksonville Jaguars and home of the Baptist Center for Joint Replacement.
We're here with Jim Davidson, 52-year-old electrician, and we're asking the tough questions about total knee replacement.
Jim, congrats on a successful knee replacement, but why now?
The pain affected everything I did, every day. It was time.
Why Baptist Health, Jim?
When I attended a joint pain Q&A session with their dedicated team of orthopedic pros, I knew it was the best place to be.
How's life after the operation?
I'm mowing my own lawn, teaching my nephew how to put it in the end zone, enjoying life day in and day out without pain.
There you have it, folks. To learn about the latest treatment options, register for a free joint pain Q&A by calling 202-CARE. That's 202-CARE.
Hey, Jags fans, put that cash back in your wallet and break out the Jaguars Visa debit card instead. Available exclusively through EverBank, you can score one by visiting a local financial center or at everbank.com/JagsCard. This card yields to no one and is yours free when you open an EverBank Yield Pledge checking account featuring powerful mobile banking apps and unlimited U.S. ATM reimbursements when you maintain a minimum average balance. So claim your Jags card at a local EverBank financial center near you or by visiting everbank.com/JagsCard. EverBank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Final segment of Jaguars postgame and the final score from Detroit, Ford Field, 13-12 Lions over the Jags. Jags are 1-2 in the preseason. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. You know, Chad Henne made the start tonight as planned, about a quarter and a half. Bortles came in for the two-minute drive, really electrified some things in that drive to get the field goal at the end of the first half, came out, threw a touchdown in the second half. That's going to be the storyline going forward, even though Gus Bradley has come out after the game to the Jaguars media and said definitively that Chad Henne is the starting quarterback week one against Philadelphia. He said that.
Yeah, he said that, and he said the opportunity for Blake to take that job is not there for week one. Okay, beyond that, we don't know. My question is to Gus Bradley the next time I see him. I talked to him this week, and I said, what about Henne next week in week four? He says, well, it'll depend on, you know, how it goes. If he has some success in week three, seemed to be the indication he wouldn't come back out in week four. Now do you need to run him out there for a series or two? And what if it doesn't go well again? I mean, you're locked in. You're committed. And he's been committed all along, but this is as definitive as you can find. There's now I've moved off 99% to 100% based on Gus Bradley's comments, barring injury. And the only way he gets injured is if he plays. Do you play Chad Henne in the week four of the preseason? I think is a very interesting question this week.
You know, it's interesting seeing the reporters tweet after the game that, you know, the reaction when questions are asked about Bortles. And there's a little bit of reaction there, and they're not going to go away. The questions are going to stay there until Blake Bortles is on the field at some point, whether it's early, whether it's late in the year, whether it's next year. the questions are always going to be there.
Absolutely.
Especially if he keeps playing like this.
Well, what if this team gets off to a slow start, right? Let's say they go 1-3 and Blake Bortles comes in, and then all of a sudden Blake Bortles and the team catch fire, and you wonder what if. What if he had made a 1 or 2 game difference? I mean, look, we're getting way ahead of ourselves here.
Yep.
And the story of the night, JP, above everything else, to me, is Gus Bradley's comment in the postseason, because that's the only person whose opinion matters on who's going to be the starting quarterback for this football team.
Hearns had a big night, of course, offensively. That's another storyline. The undrafted rookie out of Miami continues to grow. Cecil Shorts the third is healthy. Was only looked to once or twice, but he's healthy. He got back in the game tonight. Dakota Watson played a lot of this game tonight, especially
in the second
late. Half. Yes, he did, and that's a good sign moving forward. So the Atlanta Falcons come in here on Thursday. They'll have to cut down the roster to 75, I believe, by Tuesday afternoon about 4 o'clock. And then the Thursday night game against the Atlanta Falcons. As you said, we don't know how long, if the starters will go, how long they would go. It'll be determined in the next couple of days. But, hey, it's the last chance for guys who do make the first cut to get their last piece of tape for the offseason.
No question. I thought it was a very interesting thing Jeff Loggeman said about this week's cut down. He said, look, if you're going to try to slide a guy through waivers and put him on the practice squad and you don't want to give an indication that you really love this guy, maybe you cut him in the first round of cuts if you know he's not going to make the 53-man and the signal doesn't get sent that he was one of the last guys you were deciding on. Maybe he slides under the radar. So let's watch that group of 15 that get dismissed on Tuesday and see if they do eventually pick one or two up for the practice squad.
Great stuff.
You
we'll
too.
We'll see you next week. Falcons and Jaguars. The Jaguars Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Jaguars Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato were the producers. For Jeff Loggeman and Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good night. Join us Thursday. No Gus Bradley Show or Jaguars Thursday. The Falcons and Jags, 6 o'clock Thursday. We'll have countdown to kickoff at 5 o'clock. Final score tonight, 13-12, Lions over the Jags on the Jaguars Radio Network.